Father God, we thank you that you give us everything that we need. And so we come to you now for spiritual food. And we pray, Father God, that you would feed us through the teaching of your word and following that through song. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some years back, I flew to Adelaide to go to my grandfather's 98th birthday party. But it was more than that, really. It was actually about saying goodbye to him because we knew that he was about to go. He was he'd been blind for many years. He was weak, and his mind wasn't where it should have been. And I went over with my sister, and we prayed with each other that we'd have a valuable time farewelling Grandpa. And we did. We had some really special times. There were moments, though, when he got kind of agitated, when he was clearly hallucinating about things and kind of crying out. And at that point, I remember we went across, got the hymn book off the shelf and started to sing with him. And there it was, 98 years of truth in song coming out. And he could remember the tunes. He could remember some of the words. And what better thing in those days of his life to be having those truths of Jesus, of being reminded to rest in the Good Shepherd. It's fantastic. And song is like that. It can be like a lullaby to a baby. It can calm agitated hearts. It can also actually stir up dull hearts. It's a powerful thing. Take Christian truth, add poetry, add music, and you have a very, very strong mix. You know, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says that our God rejoices over us in singing. And the beautiful thing is, he then gives us a song that we might in turn rejoice over him. How good it is to know him as our God. I want you to be honest with yourself for a moment, though. How important is singing to you? How important is singing to you? As we had this opportunity today to choose a topic to preach on, I talked with Ray and also with Scott, who does our music and singing here at MBM, and we settled on this topic. And my prayer today is that this would help you see the importance and value of song. It's worked for me. I realise actually on a Sunday I tend to be, you know, kind of outside of these walls, welcoming or greeting or catching up with someone. And often I miss the singing. I'll catch a sermon, but I miss the singing. And I've had to repent of that and plan for at least one service each Sunday that I'm in to sing, because I don't want to be missing out on that. Now, if you've just dropped in for a visit this morning, welcome. It's very good to have you. And I encourage you just to actually sit back and reflect on why these people around you do what they do. Why do they sing? Where does their motivation come from, their joy? And why are Christians so distinctive on this particular thing? You know, singing, I think, is one of the great gifts of Christians to our world. When we lived in Thailand, we lived near a temple, and we heard a lot of chanting, but we didn't hear much singing. In Islam, there's actually a debate over whether music is permissible at all. I read a particular atheist, and he said that song, if it has a place, well, it must be for natural selection to help us get a mate. There may be a grain of truth in that. So many in our culture, really, I mean, the whole idea of singing together is pretty foreign. We listen to music, we hear it performed, we maybe hum along in private, but unless it's footy final weekend, it's pretty unlikely we're going to be singing together. Maybe New Year's Eve, maybe in a very soundproof booth at a karaoke place, but that would be about it. But Christians, on the other hand, We sing, and we sing often as a God-given gift. You know, there's over 400 references in the Bible to singing, and 50 of them commands for us to be doing it. There's a carefully arranged songbook smack in the middle of our Bibles, the book of Psalms, with 150 songs. And our future in heaven, well, think about that. Our future in heaven, beautifully pictured as this kind of an overwhelming, all-in time of praise. We don't go to heaven to kind of pop in earphones and do our own thing. We actually go there to join the chorus of honouring and praising our God. So what a joy it is for us on a Sunday to be here practicing for that, to kind of preview in an imperfect way something of joining that heavenly song. There are some threats, though, to Christian singing. For starters, we're so used to listening to concerts, to the radio, etc., that we can fall into listening to a performance and not participate. Also, we're so trained by our culture to value experience that we can end up valuing only songs that kind of capture our emotion and send a chill up our spine, ignore others. On the other hand, we could be so worried about being swept away by emotions that we're plain suspicious of anything that does capture our hearts. And then there's the danger of dodgy lyrics. You don't have to look too far through church history to see that whole churches and movements have gone off the rails through the lyrics. That's actually where the false teaching came in, through their songs. So let's hear what God has to say about why we sing, so that we might honour him in all that we do. So why do we sing? Well, God gives us three primary reasons. Number one, to help us praise. Number two, to help us pray. Number three, to help us proclaim. Praise, pray, and proclaim. So let's start with praise. James chapter 5, verse 13 says, "If anyone is happy, let them sing songs of praise." Psalm 100, verse 2, Israel are called to come to the Lord with joyful songs. So whether it's Miriam beside the Red Sea calling on Israel to sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, or whether it's the writer of the Psalms elsewhere saying, "Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God, how pleasant and fitting to praise him." Or that great little verse we read earlier, "Let his faithful people rejoice and sing for joy on their beds." You know it's really sunk in when that happens. And then we come to the New Testament. As we read before, we're called to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. It's a great picture. We are called to sing, whether it's from one end of the Bible all the way through to the other. And it's a great gift. I wonder how singing has impacted you over the years. I remember one time I was out camping in the back of the Blue Mountains and I just needed some time alone with God. And so I snuck away from the campfire, probably close to midnight, and I went off down this valley. There was this kind of a crevice in the rocks, and when you go into this crack, you're in this almost like a big sandstone cathedral. And I got in there and I started praying. And before I knew it, I thought, "Oh, I can sing in here. No one's going to hear me. I'm going to light up Wallamai National Park." So I sang at the top of my voice. I remember just being overwhelmed with this feeling of how undeserving I was to be in God's family. And this song, and I can still remember it, about God's grace and just belting it out, top of my voice. And I wonder for you where that's been. It could have been driving down a highway with the radio on and singing along at the top of the voice. It could have been right here in these walls, and I'm sure it has been often. That sense of thankfulness welling up in our veins and overflowing into praise. I'll tell you one thing with meeting the newcomers that come into the life of our church is a very often comment that people would say, "We love the singing here. We've got a lot to be thankful for." In God's good design, song matches our mood and lifts it higher so that we could burst out rejoicing in God. Now, you might be thinking, that's not me. I'm not a singer. Or what about when I just feel plain miserable? Well, maybe some of the other purposes of song that we'll look at later might click more with you. But I'll still challenge you a bit gently here, because at times King David and the other psalm writers, they obviously didn't feel like singing either. But they would actually call on themselves. They would sing anyway. And in that song, they would call on themselves to kind of wake up. So have a look at Psalm 103, for example. Praise the Lord. Who? My soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There's that sense of David stirring up his own soul to remember. And so he sings that he might awaken his heart. I think there's a place for us singing along even when we are depressed or discouraged. Let the song stir your soul up again. Let the words bring healing. Sing even if you don't think that you're that great at singing. It's not about the quality of the note. It's about the heart behind it. Song may be a way of plugging yourself back into that charger when your battery is a bit flat, letting the word of God ministering to your heart and rekindling your love for Jesus. But for those of us who don't enjoy singing or can't due to disability, don't think for a moment that you're hindered from praise, full stop. Praise is actually a huge category in the Bible. Look at this diagram here. Praise can be in song, sure, but it can also be through encouragement to others, evangelism, or prayer. So you can praise in your conversation with others, simply by talking or by signing if you're someone who's deaf. That could be directed at another Christian in encouragement, telling someone at morning tea today just how good God has been to you in your life. Or it could be to a friend in evangelism. It might be as simple as a Facebook post, instead of just putting the nice picture of the sunset, saying, I thank God for this. It could be that we praise in prayer too, getting down on our knees and just directly honouring and thanking God, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Praise has a lot of faces, but there is something about singing. There really is something. Singing here in church can grow our boldness to actually praise God throughout our whole life, when we're alone or when we're out in the world. And so do join in. Arrive on time for the songs and praise God in song, that it might actually encourage your heart to be praising God in other ways throughout your week. I don't think it's by accident that Israel's greatest human king, King David, he was a great warrior, wasn't he? He'd get out there in battle and trust God and had these incredible victories, but he was also a songwriter. And he was one who loved to come in with the people of God and praise God in song. It's as if he went there to that place to get recharged, that he might be able to trust God when he's out in battle. And I wonder if that can be us too. We had a staff lunch to farewell Paul and Mel Schumach the other week. And we went to the new burger place down in the RSL. And this is the sign on the table. Why limit happy to an hour? I can see why they have that sign. They don't want you to think of just going there for a drink. They want you to stay for another hour. They want you to have some food. They want you to spend as much money as possible. But they could at least add a question mark to the end of their question, couldn't they? But the question is actually a good one for us too. Why limit happy to an hour? Let this hour that we have together on a Sunday overflow into your week. Take your praise into the week. Sing is just the start. Let the song actually stay with you and flavour your prayers and your conversation week long. And maybe bring more singing into your week as well. You know, buy some Christian music. Learn it. Learn to sing those songs off by heart. Perhaps turn on the Christian radio. I'm not saying you need 24/7 wall-to-wall Christian music. Some people do. But to mix something into your diet that would help you lift your heart regularly to God in praise. Singing helps us praise. Secondly, though, we sing to help us pray. What do you notice about these songs? O breath of love, come breathe within, renewing thought and will and heart. Come, love of Christ, afresh to win, revive your church in every part. Or this one. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Well, they're both songs that we sing here at MBM, but they're also prayers, aren't they? They are prayers. They're the kind of, there's a direct address to the living God calling for revival, calling for a renewed heart, rededicating oneself to the Lord, all kinds of things. See, our prayer time here on a Sunday is not limited to the time when we close our eyes and say amen at the end. Our songs are included in that prayer time. Often, there is that kind of a vertical dimension, not just in praise in our songs, but in prayer and request. And these kind of songs, they grow in biblical soil. We read before how we were supposed to be singing the Psalms as part of our diet of songs. And we saw that when you open up the Psalms, you actually get this huge variety of different kinds of prayers there. So take Psalm 3, Arise, O Lord, deliver me. This is kind of a call for help. Or Psalm 14, Oh, that salvation for Israel would come. This plea. Psalm 17, Hear me, Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. This call for protection. Psalm 51, Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. It's quite liberating when you think about it. Like I said before, you may not always feel like praise, but there's actually a whole lot of songs which may reflect where you are at. You might be ready to come with Psalm 51 on your lips in confession. You might be ready with Psalm 6 on your lips. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? One thing I found very helpful as far as the Psalms are concerned, there's a Christian band, some of you would know, called Sons of Korah. And all they do is sing the Psalms as closely as possible, word for word, from the Bible. And that's actually allowed me to sing them and to kind of take them on board, all these different moods, whether it's Psalms of confusion, of dismay, of confession, or of praise. They're all there. That's very helpful, Sons of Korah. Well, singing helps us to praise, helps us to pray. And thirdly, we sing to help us proclaim. And by the way, those three headings come from Rob Smith, who has written some fantastic songs. He's a great Bible teacher. I think he really nails it with them. Singing helps us proclaim our faith. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. When we sing that, what are we doing? We're gospeling each other. We're actually sharing the gospel with each other, aren't we? We are uttering words that are capable of setting hearts on fire for the Lord. It's a beautiful ministry that we all have to each other as we sing. And so we read before in Ephesians 5 that the Spirit helps us to be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. As much as we sing and pray to God, which is like the vertical, if you like, there's also this horizontal dimension to our singing. We sing to the person next to us, the person in front of us. Our voice proclaims with the others in the room that Jesus is Lord. That's why singing can't be an option for us. We need to sing for the encouragement of others, not just ourselves. You know, when we first started our Sunday at 5 service here, which has now become our 6 p.m. evening service, We initially didn't do singing on a Sunday for about the first year or so. And the reason was that the group of people that we started that service with were brand new Christians, and they said, the kind of songs you're singing in the morning, if we bring our friends along, they'll freak. And so we said, okay, we won't do it on Sundays, but we do it on the Wednesday nights. So we did this kind of singing during the week and weaned them on slowly, and they all played in bands and stuff. So what they did is they quickly cottoned on, started writing their own riffs, started writing their own words, and we introduced it on the Sunday in their style. Because it wasn't an option. We had to sing as God commands it. There's another verse that really picks up this kind of horizontal part of singing to each other, and that's Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. It comes straight out. It says that this is a ministry of Christ, of the message of Christ, of the gospel that we do as we sing. It's like preaching, but it's a ministry that we all have to each other. We share in it. As we sing, we actually teach and shape each other's understanding of God. Truths of our faith are so rich, you know. Sometimes Bible study, sometimes preaching can't do everything. And we need an outlet for our emotions, for our passion to come out. And God's given a song for that. Look at the way John Piper puts it. He says, the realities of God and Christ, creation and salvation, heaven and hell, are so great that when they are known truly and felt duly, they demand more than discussion and analysis and description. They demand poetry and song and music. Singing is the Christian's way of saying God is so great that thinking will not suffice. There must be a deep feeling. And talking will not suffice. There must be singing. I love that. So singing is not that buffer in our service to allow the latecomers to get in. Singing is not that leg stretcher when you get to get up for a moment. Singing is a key part of our ministry to each other here at MBM. It is key. Surely there's nothing more pure than hearing God speak directly when the Bible is read to us, sure. And we need the sermon to explain and kind of bring that word home to our heart. But God has also given us singing. And let's face it, sometimes we're going to remember that song a lot better than we're going to remember the sermon. It's a great gift that God has given us. And it's a powerful gift. And so we've got to say we do have to have those biblically rich lyrics. We have to have those. And we, of course, need, and I believe have, musicians that point beyond themselves to the song and the gospel that lies within that song. I praise God for Scott Lavender, don't you? Really. That he leads us as our magnification pastor. He leads us in this whole area of music and song. He has a key teaching pastoral role here at MBM. And God's equipped him well for that task. And I plan to lead us in prayer straight after this. And I will pray for him as part of that. And I'll pray especially because he's leading a team this week who will be recording our second MBM album. And so I'll be praying that they have creativity and perseverance and everything they need for that task, that we would praise God well through it. And musicians, for those of you here today, I want to say thank you for this, your superb ministry to us. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do. I was a song leader once and I know just how hard it is and the hours spent practicing. You're central to our one another ministry of singing. And a word to each of you who join in and sing on a Sunday. Thank you to you too. Because you're praising, you're praying, you're proclaiming. So keep singing up that we might all be encouraged. There are churches where the band performs and the congregation can't be heard. And I want to say there's a real danger in that. The song leader can become this kind of a priest, mediating the presence of God to the congregation. And they've got to kind of whip up a frenzy with lots and lots and lots of songs. And if they do well, the congregation feels close to God. If they do badly, they can walk away feeling less than close. But I want to say that misses the point. It's no better than the kind of distortions of the Middle Age where with the kind of priestly traditions and stuff that happened. The thing is, we've got the message of Christ. Christ is the one who brings the presence of God to us. Christ is the one who ultimately leads us in song. Christ is the one who puts us in touch with the Father. And we mustn't think that it's something that we do when Christ has done it and opened the way to the throne room of God for us. So sing up. Sing the words of these gospel words of our songs about Christ, our priest. On the other hand, though, don't feel that any show of emotion is somehow unsafe. Our risk is probably not so much heading down the path of emotionalism, but it might more be the opposite. What I call the newsreader trap, all right? The newsreader, you've seen them reading out the TV. They'll talk about celebrations, but they'll talk about calamities and great disasters across the world. They'll talk about huge things in the life of our nation, but you never know what they're thinking. You don't have a clue, just deadpan, straight face. 83 people were killed in a car bomb in Kabul. Straight face. A kitten was pulled out of a drain in East Sydney. Straight face. You just never know. And I want to say, you don't want to bring that to our singing. If we're going to be singing about these great truths of God, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Saviour and my God, you've got to let that affect you. Straight face, no way. If God moves you, be moved. Show what this means to you and never judge anybody else for doing that. I don't mean be distracting. I don't mean don't be yourself either. But show us your faith's alive. Go for it. You know, Mike Rader, who preaches occasionally for us here, put it this way. He commends our concern about emotionalism in some singing. And then he turns the spotlight around to us and he says this. He says, but what of much of the singing in many evangelical churches? Isn't the problem the opposite one? We have at our fingertips some of the most marvellous Christian songs ever written. And there are being composed today new songs that rival the old classics in the beauty of their melodies and the wonder and glory of their lyrics. We sing to one another the most sublime and thrilling truths imaginable. Yet, so often, we do this with little fervour or evident intellectual or emotional engagement. Which kind of singing is the greater travesty? So what are you proclaiming to the person next to you today? Sing up, sing with passion. Bless that person next to you and bless your God, for he deserves every bit of it. Let me close by asking another question of us. Do you have a song? Do you have a song? See, this whole talk assumes that we'd all want the message of Christ dwelling within us, that we want to be praising our Saviour or praying to him, but perhaps that's just not you yet. That's okay. It's okay for now. Just watch us as we sing and just ask that question of yourself, do I want what they have? Ask that question. Because you can have it. You know, our sign out the front of the church at the moment reads, God loves Rudy Hill. Now, it doesn't mean that God loves that little nicely mown mound on the other side of the railway line there, although he did make it. But it means that he loves us. He loves you. And that God who loves you wants to give you a song. He wants to forgive your sins and retune your life to walk with him. And if that's something you want, do come and talk to us about that. do come and talk to us. For the rest of us, can we pray together and particularly commit the ministry of song in the life of our church to our living God? Let's do that. Well, our Lord and God, we do want to praise you in every way we can. You have plucked us out of darkness into your wonderful light. Once we were not a people, but you have chosen us out and adopted us in. You've made us your own special possession, and all of us, priests, to serve you in this world with the responsibility to declare your praises. Help us do that well in conversation, in evangelism, in prayer, and in song. Give us hearts to sing, Lord, especially for those of us this is just not, doesn't feel like it's our thing. May you unlock this beautiful area of the Christian life to each of us. And Lord, thank you for those who lead us in music and song here, for each band member and song leader and person behind the scenes. Thank you for Scott and his leadership of this ministry, his songwriting, his skills, and especially his heart for you. Refresh his soul and sustain him for the long haul in a ministry where, almost by definition, you can't please everyone's tastes. We especially want to pray for those labouring to record our next MBM album this very week. Give them joy in their labour, creativity, endurance, and patience. And please make this an album that would help us all praise, pray, and proclaim you better. We do praise you, Lord. Amen.